Al-Qaeda means our base. And it was a little self-financing organization that Osama bin Laden set up in 1988 or 89 to use for his financial purposes. And then someone who was captured who was with bin Laden went on trial for the 1993 World Trade Center bombing in early 2001 under the Bush administration. And this fellow referred to Al-Qaeda in his testimony. Now, it's most of what he said was actually ridiculous, but, you know, that was what was happening. And Al-Qaeda was then mentioned, and it was in the air. But when September 11th happened, there was no Al-Qaeda. There was no... nobody talked about that. They mentioned the Taliban. That's what they talked about. And now, in the last few days, George Bush has referred to Al-Qaeda as the people who were fighting in Iraq. Not insurgents anymore, but Al-Qaeda. And what they've done is they've created this image of a worldwide Islamic terrorist organization that's financed by Osama bin Laden and has billions of dollars of oil money invested in it. And it's this huge, gigantic criminal organization, super criminals like Spectre in the James Bond movies. There is no Al-Qaeda. It's a phantom organization. This is just another lie. It's just a lie.
America. America, I've given you all, and now I'm nothing. America, $2.27, January 17th, 1956. I can't stand my own mind. America, when will we end the human war? Go fuck yourself with your atom bomb. I don't feel good. Don't bother me. I won't write my poem till I'm in my right mind. America, when will you be angelic? When will you take off your clothes? When will you look at yourself through the grave? When will you be worthy of your million Trotskyites? America, why are your libraries full of tears? America, when will you send your eggs to India? I'm sick of your insane demands. When can I go into the supermarket and buy what I need with my good looks? America, after all, it is you and I who are perfect, not the next world. Your machinery is too much for me. You made me want to be a saint. There must be some other way to settle this argument. Burroughs is in Tangiers. I don't think he'll come back. It's sinister. Are you being sinister, or is this some form of practical joke? I'm trying to come to the point. I refuse to give up my obsession. America, stop pushing. I know what I'm doing. America, the plum blossoms are falling. I haven't read the newspapers for months. Every day somebody goes on trial for murder. America, I feel sentimental about the Wobblies. America, I used to be a communist when I was a kid. I'm not sorry. I smoke marijuana every chance I get. I sit in my house for days on end and stare at the roses in the closet. Whenever I go to Chinatown, I get drunk and never get laid. My mind is made up. There's going to be trouble. You should have seen me reading Marx. I have mystical visions and cosmic vibrations. America, I still haven't told you what you did to Uncle Max after he came over from Russia. I'm addressing you. Are you going to let your emotional life be run by Time magazine? I'm obsessed by Time magazine. I read it every week. Its cover stares at me every time I slink past the corner candy store. I read it in the basement of the Berkeley Public Library. It's always telling me about responsibility. Businessmen are serious. Movie producers are serious. Everybody's serious but me. It occurs to me that I am America. I'm talking to myself again. Asia is rising against me. I haven't got a Chinaman's chance. I better consider my national resources. My national resources consist of two joints of marijuana, millions of genitals, an unpublishable private literature that goes 1,400 MPH, and 25,000 mental institutions. I say nothing about my prisons, nor the millions of underprivileged who live in my flower pots under the light of 500 suns. I have already abolished the whorehouses of France. 10 years are the next to go. My ambition is to be president, despite the fact that I'm a Catholic. America, how can I write a holy litany in your silly mood? I will continue, like Henry Ford. My strokes are as individual as his automobiles, more so they're all different sexes. America, I will sell you strokes, 2,500 apiece, 500 down on your old stroke. America, free Tom Mooney. America, save the Spanish loyalists. America, Sacco and Vanzetti must not die. I am the Scottsboro Boys. America, when I was 7, Mama took me to communist cell meetings. They sold us garbanzos, a handful per ticket. A ticket cost a nickel and the speeches were free. Everybody was angelic and sentimental about the workers. It was all so sincere, you have no idea what a good thing the party was in 1835. Scott Nearing was a grand old man, a real mensch. Mother Brewer made me cry. I once saw Israel Amter plane. Everybody must have been a spy. America, you don't really want to go to war. America's them bad Russians. Them Russians, and them Chinamen, and them Russians. The Russia wants to eat us alive. The Russia's power mad. She wants to take our cars from out our garages. Her wants to grab Chicago. Her needs Red Readers' digests. Her wants our auto plants in Siberia. Him big bureaucracy running our filling stations. That no good. Ugh, him make Indians learn read. Him need big black niggers. Ah. They make us all work 16 hours a day. Help. America, this is quite serious. America, this is the impression I get from looking in the television set. America, is this correct? I'd better get right down to the job. It's true, I don't want to join the army or turn lathes and precision parts factories. I'm nearsighted and psychopathic anyway. America, I'm putting my queer shoulder to the wheel. Thank you.
Tradition and is sprawled in front of a TV set in the dormitory lounge. He's been watching more and more television lately with a preference for serials like The Secret Storm and As the World Turns. He has also started showing up at student parties instead of rebuffing his roommate's kindly, clumsy invitations. A good rule, any party is depressing if you think about it, but you don't have to think about it. I'm happy when I dance. Touch me. What is upsetting? To read last letters from Stalingrad and grieve for those lost, all too human voices among the most devilish of enemies. No one is a devil if fully heard. To find everyone crazy. Example, both Lyle and his parents. And to find the crazy particularly audible. To be afraid. To know that Lyle will be introduced to Roberta Jarrell next week at an elegant Soho loft party given in her honor after her speech at New York University, be recruited by her, drop out of college, and not be heard from again for at least 7 years. To feel how desperate everyone is. Doris, Julia's Doris, is being evicted from her apartment. She not only has no money to pay a higher rent, she wants to go on living in the place where her children perish. To learn that the government, using information that the law now requires be recorded on tape and stored indefinitely by banks, the telephone company, airlines, credit card companies, can know more about me, my more sociable activities anyway, than I do myself. If necessary, I could list most of the plane trips I've taken, and my old checkbook stubs are in a drawer somewhere. But I don't remember whom I telephoned exactly 4 months ago at 11 a.m. and never will. I don't think it was Julia. To find in myself the desire to stop listening to people's distress. To be unsure of how to exercise the powers I do possess. Julia had once fallen under the spell of an ex-ESP researcher, then a specialist in the North American Indian occult, who claimed to know how to help her. Most people who meet Julia, stunned by her vulnerability, take a crack at helping her. The pleasure of her beauty, which is the only gift Julia has ever been able to make to other people, helps too. The sorceress in question, Martha Woolton, was white, Westchester-born, crisp, a superb tennis player, rather like a gym teacher. I thought, condescendingly, she might be good for Julia, until, as part of a program for freeing Julia from her demons, she had her bay at the full moon on all fours. Then I swooped back into Julia's underfurnished life, performed my old rites of counter-exorcism, reason, self-preservation, pessimism of the intellect, optimism of the will, and Martha Wooten vanished, metamorphosed, rather, into one of the wicked witches of the West, setting up in Big Sur as Lady Lambda, head of the only Lucifer cult that practices deep breathing and bioenergetic analysis. Was I right to D.B. Witcher? To be unable to change one's life.
This is a program of experimental dance and pop music that has been collaged together to reach out to you and tap you on the shoulder and feel your ribs and tickle your crotch and be lusty with you and be political with you and to rub you and bounce off you and bang against you and that's good enough. Bang against you. On Kill Radio. Welcome to the children.
To
get together, cross the track, and they party.
President Hindenburg was a republic, yet in this republic, an aggressive despotism took root and flourished under Adolf Hitler. When a competent observer looks for signs of despotism in a community, he looks beyond fine words and noble phrases.
One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Many observers have found that two workable yardsticks help in discovering how near a community is to despotism. The respect scale and the power scale. A careful observer can use a respect scale to find how many citizens get an even break. As a community moves towards despotism, respect is restricted to fewer people. A community is low on a respect scale if common courtesy is withheld from large groups of people on account of their political attitudes. If people are rude to others because they think their wealth and position gives them that right, or because they don't like a man's race or his religion, equal opportunity for all citizens to develop useful skills is one basis for rating a community on a respect scale. The opportunity to develop useful skills is important, but not enough. The equally important opportunity to put skills to use is a further test on a respect scale. A power scale is another important yardstick of despotism. It gauges the citizen's share in making the community's decisions. Communities which concentrate decision-making in a few hands rate low on a power scale and are moving towards despotism. Like France under the Bourbon kings, one of whom said, "The state, I am the state." Today, democracy can ebb away in communities whose citizens allow power to become concentrated in the hands of bosses.
What I say goes, see? I'm the law around here.
The test of despotic power is that it can disregard the will of the people. It rules without the consent of the governed. Look beyond the legal formalities of an election in measuring a community on the power scale to see if the ballot is really free. If the citizens can vote only the way they're told, a community approaches despotism. When legislatures become ceremonial assemblies only and have no real control over lawmaking, their community rates low on a power scale.
Defense! Defense!
In a downright despotism, opposition is dangerous whether the despotism is official or whether it is unofficial.
The spread of respect and power in a community is influenced by certain conditions, which many observers measure by means of the economic distribution and information scales.
If a community's economic distribution becomes slanted, its middle income groups grow smaller, and despotism stands a better chance to gain a foothold. Where land is privately owned, one sign of a poorly balanced economy is the concentration of land ownership in the hands of a very small number of people. When farmers lose their farms, they lose their independence. This one can stay on, but not as his own boss anymore. To the extent that this condition exists throughout a nation, the likelihood of despotism is increased. In communities which depend almost entirely on a single industry, such as a factory or mine, maintaining economic balance is a challenging problem. If this condition exists over the nation as a whole,
So that the control of jobs and business opportunities is in a few hands, despotism stands a good chance. Another sign of a poorly balanced economy is a taxation system that presses heaviest on those least able to pay.